One more time, would you turn with me to the book of Ezra? The book of Ezra in the Old Testament there. To a lot of folks, no doubt, at the time of the happenings here, what was going on was really strange. Judah and Benjamin had been taken into captivity, and they were a special labor force. And then a king comes to the throne by the name of Cyrus. And this man, by name, had been mentioned by the prophet Isaiah 100 years before he was born, and said, "My servant Cyrus will let these people go back." And it happened. And he sent them back. And they started to rebuild the temple in exactly the same place that the old temple had been destroyed. They put the altar in exactly the same place that it had been destroyed. And they started the work. And behold, some of the folks that lived around them didn't like the new scenery. And they complained and said, "Stop this. And we're going to send a letter back to the king over there. It's a new king now, and we're going to have this stopped, and you're going to be made to quit." Well, a couple of prophets come along, says the edict hasn't got back there yet, continue on. And so they did. And then we heard this morning, the reading, there in the reading of the last part of chapter 5, that those who were there that had been permitted to leave and go back to Jerusalem and to Judah, they sent a letter. And they said, "Please search the archives. Go back into all those things that had been written down." Those folks were glad for writing, and they were glad for some sort of paper. Because we read here in chapter 6 of the book of Ezra that Darius, the king, made a decree. Ezra chapter 6, verse 1. "Then Darius, the king, made a decree, and search was made in the house of the rolls." That's the Library of Congress. "Go see if you can't find what these folks are telling us about, where the treasure were laying up in Babylon. And there was found at Akamethia in the palace that is in the province of the Medes a roll. And therein was a record thus written: In the first year of Cyrus the king, the same Cyrus the king made a decree concerning the house of God at Jerusalem. Let the house be builded, the place where they offered sacrifices, and let the foundations thereof be strongly laid, the height thereof 60 cubits, the breadth thereof 60 cubits. Let 3 rows of great stones and a row of new timber, and let the expenses be given out of the king's house." This is all written down. Some scribe was used as this king, Cyrus, made the decree that these folks had finished their time in Babylon. Now, it wasn't his decision, it was God's decision. And he is a prince in whose heart is in the hands of the Lord, and he, God, turned it whithersoever he wills. And here it is, Cyrus had it written down, it's been in storage for a long time, and now is brought out. And so Darius is going to send a letter back that they continue building. But I'd like to take my message this morning from verse 1. Darius is a type. God is the anti-type. Darius makes a decree. Darius says something here that must be followed because he is king. He says, start the search. Investigate. They appealed, these Jews appealed to a pagan king for help. Now that reminds me a little bit of over in the New Testament, they had grabbed the Apostle Paul and bound him with thongs and were ready to scourge him, and he brings up a good point. Is it lawful to beat a Roman citizen? And those guys that were prepared to beat him took a deep breath and said, "You're a Roman?" "Yes, I am." He appealed to the pagan authorities. Sometimes it is in our interest to do that, but we also find, as much as lieth in us, live peaceably with all folks. But sometimes it has to happen. And the Jews at this time found out it was necessary for them to appeal to the king, King Darius. And we find him as a king in the hands of the Lord, moving as the Lord directed him, and made a decree. He gave an order. He commanded. He issued an edict. Gave commandment, issued an order. Issued orders. Go search those rolls. Find out what is said. If these people be right, we need to honor what the previous king has said. Now, kings do this because they are king. There's not many kings left in the world that had the authority that Darius had. There were some kings and queens of England that had similar authority, and what they said was absolute law. They have power to issue decrees and have them fulfilled. This decree benefited some folks that were in Jerusalem. This king, as well as all kings, are in a way a type of the true king. Now, there's only one king that can make decrees and not have to remember what he said. There's one king that makes decrees and is not concerned about the previous king's decrees, because this king makes decrees and he made them from eternity, and they are imposed even to this very day. His word is absolute truth and perfect in every way. This word decree is used in the Psalms with regard to God. I will declare the decree. The Lord hath said unto my Lord, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. The Lord, I will declare the decree. We find that this term decree is used many times, particularly in the New Testament, with other words, but they mean exactly the same as what we read with regard to Darius and what we read with regard to God speaking and having his word as law. His decrees are eternal. They're still in order. They're still being fulfilled by Almighty God. And I would like to look at a few of the other words that are found particularly in the New Testament that share with us this great principle about our God. Now, this principle about our God is very beneficial to the church. That he made a decree and the church stands on it firmly. It is our rock. The decrees of God are our rock, our foundation stone. Jesus Christ truly being the rock, and all the decrees of God are founded in this one person, the Lord Jesus Christ. If you will turn with me in the New Testament, keeping in mind, Darius made a decree, Cyrus made a decree. Kings have done that. But this king, the king of heaven, does not need to go be asked to go look at old king scrolls to find out what they said about things. Kings die, new kings come up, and they don't know exactly all that was written by that king. But this king, the king of heaven, God Almighty, does not change. His decrees don't change. His mind is not changed. Oh, how poor it is in religion that we try to get more people praying for an issue than there are people praying against an issue, and we hope that we can influence God to be on our side. And then we find out when God saves us, that's not the way it works. God has made a decree, and we pray, nevertheless, not my will be done, but thy will be done. And please conform me to your will, and don't let me whine about it too much. All right, if you turn with me over to the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 3, we find here another phrase that means much the same as we find the word decree. Decree is not used often in the New Testament, but these words are mentioned there. And here in the book of Ephesians chapter 3, and there in verse 11, it says, according to the eternal purpose. Now that those two words, eternal purpose, we could put them right as a synonym of God's eternal decrees. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 11, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. I am so thankful as I read through the scriptures that God had a purpose. And it is being carried out just as God intended his purpose to be carried out. His eternal purpose, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus. Before the world was created, before there was the call for the allowance of light being made, God in his eternal purpose purposed to do some things. And the church rejoices in those things that he purposed to do because we are directly involved with them. Not in the sense that we reckon in them, but we are the recipients of them, the eternal purposes of God. Would you turn with me back to the book of Acts chapter 2 as we look at another place where there is words that are used that share with us God's decrees. Darius decreed and people moved. God decrees and people move. How thankful we are. Here in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, the scriptures share this very valuable passage of scripture with regard to the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. Oh, people have been religiously forgiven for doing it. Let's look at what God said about it. Here in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 23, the scriptures share this. Well, verse 22, "Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel." Now those two words could be summed up by God's decree. The determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. Ye have taken. Now, when they did what they did, and they did their worst with what they did, this was God's eternal purpose. This one, Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, must be taken to the cross as it was written in the Old Testament. It was written in the mind of God. It was written in the mind of the councils of eternity, that this one must be the advocate, must be the substitute, must be the redeemer, must be the savior of his people, or nobody would ever be saved. So as he's going, he's delivered by the determinate counsel of God. Can you just in your mind's eye go back into old eternity and hear God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit decree that the Son must give his life a ransom for many? If you can, say hallelujah. Because that's what God did. Before there was a problem, he did that very thing. He decreed, and it was so decreed, and the marks are so indelible, cannot be erased, that the names of the people that God decreed to save from eternity were graven on the palms of Christ's hands. So everywhere he walked, have you ever written notes on your hands? Sometimes I write there because I don't lose that note. I can keep that note. I may wash it inadvertently. So, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. Those folks were the servants of Almighty God. Just like Darius, just like Cyrus, just like those guys that had camps over there that didn't like what those Jews were doing in rebuilding the temple, they were servants in the hands of God. When I was on that ship recently, I don't know how many times the problem that people were having with the devil came up. And I finally said, he's God's devil. He's not some creature that just sprang up somewhere. God Almighty created him. He's God's devil. And God has decreed what he's able to do. But most of the problem, I had to point out over and over and over, because most people don't even know, they don't even think about it. Here's the problem. We are the problem. We just can't blame all this stuff on the devil. God has decreed, and we have a problem. Our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know them? All right. Would you turn with me again back to the book of Ephesians? Ephesians chapter 1 this time. Here we have in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, the mystery of his will, which is his decrees. We know a little bit about his decrees, but there's much about his decrees that are a mystery and will continue to be a mystery, at least in this life, and maybe for eternity. I don't know how many times folks told me, we'll understand it better by and by. There's a song about that. You know what? It won't matter. God's people will see their Savior, and all of these things that we think are important will not be important anymore. Here in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9, the scriptures say this, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to the good pleasure which he purposed in himself. Now, the gospel is the mystery of his will. The redemption that is in Christ is the mystery of his will. That he would have us born someplace, sometime in this world, in this life, and that his gospel would come to us in power and great glory, and that we would find a wall we couldn't break down. We would find something that was said that we just couldn't put aside, and that God would work his work of grace in us, and by his Spirit would cause us to be born again. That's the mystery of his will. I'm so thankful that a man was stirred up 3,000 miles away to come clear across this country to say some words to a lost, hell-bound, and hell-deserving preacher, and broke my religious house all to pieces. God is merciful. He has sent out a decree. He has put it in an everlasting purpose, just as we have here, the mystery of his will. He has a decree, and he will carry it out to its nth degree, and it will never fail or fall aside, or he'll never forget his decree. We find that kings of old forgot things that happened. They had to have it reminded, had to have it brought up. God doesn't have to study history. God doesn't have to read history books. God is in charge from the beginning to the end. He knows the end from the beginning. Would you turn with me in the book of Romans? Back up to the book of Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, we have these words. Predestinate. Predestinate. I mentioned that in a message there on that cruise ship, and you could, there was some and all I had to do was say this: what if you'd have got on this cruise ship and the captain announced when we were out at sea, we don't know where we're going? Most of us would like to say, go back to port then. God knows where He's going. And God has decreed where we're going. And God has an interest in what's going on because He has decreed it. So here in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 29, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. That's His decree. He predestinated. Before the world began, He predestinated things that would take place. He decreed things that would take place. He purposed that things would take place. According to the mystery of His will, He decreed it. And here He says, He predestinated all His people. He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. What does that mean? Be presented spotless. That's what He predestinated. That we would go and stand before Him in that day at that great white throne when we meet Him, and He would say, perfect in every way, because you are in the robe of My Son's righteousness. You stand clean. We know where the stone we were hewn out from, but He has decreed, He has predestinated, He has in His mystery of His will that He will present all the church perfect before Him. And there again, the church is, hallelujah. He did predestinate. For whom He did foreknow, them He also did predestinate. And then, if you would back up just a little bit, go ahead again to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 11. We have another statement made here. The counsel of His own will. God never took anybody into counsel. Notice, we went through the Panama Canal, and when it was originally declared by the House and the Senate that we were going to build it, Teddy Roosevelt had about 9 or 10 folks on the council on, let's build this. It wasn't a year, and he had it cut down to 3. Because there was just too much, nobody could agree on anything. And finally, he chose a guy of the Army Corps of Engineers and sent him down there and said, you are in charge. You speak and it will be done. Well, God's been doing that from eternity. No one did He ever take into counsel on what to do. Because if He had of, it would have been ruined to begin with. Here in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 11, it says, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. The counsel of His own will, His own decree. It's not fair, it's not fair. It's God's decree. The decrees of God are His eternal purpose according to the counsel of His own will, whereby for His own glory He hath foreordained whatsoever comes to pass. The king mentioned in Ezra chapter 6 would of necessity decree things as it was required by incidents. Oh, this group rises up against him. I decree you go get them. But God never had to do that. He was never, ever gave a decree because of incidents. He could decree before the foundation of the world because he's in charge of all things. He is the creator of all things. He has almighty power. He knows all things. He's all wise. There is nothing out of his realm. And so this God, the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, because of his perfect oneness and infinite power and wisdom, decreed all things at once. One instant in eternity past, knowing all things, being all wise, all powerful, could decree all things, and it would come to pass. Because of his great attributes, it was not necessary to decree due to new circumstances. Can you imagine what God it would be if Adam sinned against him and now he's got to make a decision on what's going to happen? That's nothing better than we are. The kids come home with bad news. Now we got to decree on, we got to make a new rule. But with God, in an instant, in eternity past, and I'm using words I don't even understand completely, because God has never not decreed. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Psalm 115 and verse 3. Our God is in the heavens, and he hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. Would you turn with me to Psalm 135 and verse 6? Psalm 135 and verse 6. Whatsoever the Lord pleased. Psalm 135 and verse 6. The properties of God's decrees are much different than human kings' decrees. God's decrees are eternal, all-wise, absolute, and unchangeable, and includes all things. Do you think he was surprised by this coronavirus? Or the Black Plague that took place in Europe many years ago? No, I'm sorry. He's not surprised. Was he surprised by the Twin Towers coming down? No, no, no. These things all happen for the furtherance of the gospel. In the book of the Psalms, Psalm 135 and verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven. Wouldn't that be something if we could just do that in our own home? Not everywhere else, just in our own home? But God in heaven. Psalm 135 and verse 6, it says, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth, in the seas and the deep places. He has absolute control over all things. There's not a meteorite that doesn't fly, that he does not have direction to it. And it was decreed from all eternity. He is not one of these Johnny-come-latelys that has to make up his mind as time goes on. But he has all things purposed from eternity. We just find out in time part of what it is. In Isaiah, would you turn with me forward to the book of Isaiah for just a moment. Isaiah 14 and verse 26. Isaiah 14, verse 26, as we think about, he decreed. And we are the beneficiaries of his decree. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 26, the scriptures share this. This is the purpose that is purposed upon the whole earth. And this is the hand that is stretched out upon all the nations. He has purposed it upon the whole earth. All nations, peoples, kindreds, tribes, religions, skin color, food. He has purposed all things upon this earth. Nothing has been left out of his eternal, everlasting decrees. He worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. It really pinches us when it comes up close to us, doesn't it? And sometimes we have to be like the apostles. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. I can't understand this. If we could understand God, we could, but we can't, so we don't. And we don't want a God that we can understand. We want a God that is able to save to the uttermost. And He only can do that because He is a God that can decree. Over in the book again. I'm sorry, I should have done this earlier while we were over there, but in the Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 89. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it is abideth. They continue this day according to Thy ordinances, for all are Thy servants. Every spring, babbling brook, river, creek, mountain, everything is the servant of Almighty God. Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven. It is written in stone. It is unchangeable. It never fades away. My dear friend Rupert Reibenbach went over to England and he was looking for a headstone of a preacher that preached over there many years ago. And he took a picture of it. You know what weather does to stone? Hardly readable. Well, His word, God's word, is forever settled in the heavens. It will never pass away. Heaven and earth may pass away, but my word will never pass away. In the book of the Acts, it says, God is made of one blood, all nations. Every peoples of the earth have the same blood, different types we find, of men for to dwell in all the face of the earth and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. You know, it's interesting. You live exactly where you were supposed to by Almighty God's decree. And by His decree, we get to move once in a while. And if it wasn't for it, we would be in our own place. My mother crossed the Astoria Bridge, went to Reno one time, and went down in California one time, and the rest of the time she spent there in two counties. We travel all over the world, and still it is by God's permission and His decree. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory. Before the world unto our glory. What is that? God purposed before the foundation of the world that He was going to save some people from eternal damnation. And in order to do that, there must be a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Before He could ever create, there was already in decree things that would take place on the behalf of those people. And in fact, it was so decreed that they would have eternal life before they were ever born. He's going to acquaint us with it in time. And that's what He does in the new birth. We find out what He took care of before the world began and what He will take care of after this world is over with. He has decreed it. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning of the world. God's decrees are absolute. They depend on no condition outside of God and are eternally and solely dependent upon His sovereign will. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will. A group of saints were in trouble. In the book of Acts, God released them. And they went and had a prayer meeting. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Acts, chapter 4. They went and had a prayer meeting. And in this prayer, they recognized some things. They recognized some things before, but they're putting it. They're enunciating it now. Acts chapter 4, verse 27. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. Who's in charge of the trial? God Almighty. Who's in charge of the arrest? God Almighty. Who is in charge of the crucifixion? God Almighty. Who's in charge of the Roman soldier who run a spear into his very body? God Almighty. They would look on him whom they had pierced. That's in the Psalms. For eternity, God had written it out. And as I was just so blessed this morning, as it was brought up here, this young, we'd call him a boy. I like that song, on my mother's side I'm 12, and on my father's side I'm the eternal Son of God. He comes up there to the Passover, and he watches that priest take that Passover lamb and was able to say, there is a picture of me. What a blessing. And you know what? He never turned from that one step. From his birth, he was prepared to be the Lamb of God. It was decreed, and he was the decreer. He would do exactly what the decree said, because he had decreed it in the Godhead. Lord hath made all of this redounds to the glory of God. The Lord hath made all things for himself. Yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. How does the decrees of God affect you or affect me? Well, when we get right down to it, David, not long before he passed away, summed it up when he said there in the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23 and verse 5, he hath made with me a decree, ordered in all things and sure. You know what? He was dependent upon the decrees of God. He was dependent upon that God that we're going to be studying about in the book of Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6 this Wednesday night. I change not. He was depending upon an unchanging God who followed his word to the nth degree. We used to say, oh, man's word was his bond. That's good, but it isn't near what we find in God. His word is his bond. What is it? How does this decrees of God affect us? They guarantee the salvation of all his elect. Not one will be left out. And it also guarantees that the death of Jesus Christ was an accomplished feat. That he would accomplish them. It would be absolutely successful and not wasted. Oh, to hear people say that there are people in hell that Jesus Christ died for, that his blood was wasted on them. Not according to the decrees of God. I will lay down my life a ransom for many. I lay down my life for the sheep. Not one of those rascals that goes to eternal damnation was ever the sheep of God. We should all be as they are. But he was pleased in his eternal purpose and in his eternal decrees to write a few names down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it doesn't produce haughtiness. It produces the greatest humility. And we say, thank God Almighty. The preaching of the gospel. of the Lord Jesus Christ will be successful. God told Paul, don't be too bothered there in Corinthians. I have much people there. Just stick it out, Paul. There's going to be a whole host of saved people there. He went down to the river where prayer was wont to be made. And there were some women praying there. And there was a lady from 300 miles away, a seller of purple, whose heart the Lord opened. Lydia. The decrees of God make the salvation of all the elect secure and eternal. He is able to keep them to the uttermost, and he will lose none. The purpose of eternal life and glorious God for eternity is in his decrees. So, long time ago, a king said, I decree, go find those, see if there's a roll over there, some scroll, some writing that has to do with this letter. And he is just a little bit of a type of the God that sits on the throne in heaven and decreed whatsoever shall come to pass. And in that, he decreed to save some of the fallen children of Adam and keep them secure from falling and present them spotless at that day. His word will not pass away. Brother Mike.